7:44, Kevin Martell in for Greg Morgan today. The Riders just kind of fell apart, didn't they? They just can't get that monkey off their back known as the Calgary Stampeders this season, losing again to the Stamps, this time 32-15. Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson is on the line with me this morning, also part of the Green Zone's game day coverage. Morning, Belton. And is this not a deflating game? It's a rematch against the only team that beat you. You want to avenge the loss, and then you come out, and it's basically the same thing, almost a redo of the first game.
Yeah, Kevin, that was, I don't know. I think I got 8 good minutes of Rider football there in the second quarter, but you're right. They didn't come out well at all. As you know, the Stampeders, they got up, 14-2 right away. And then, you know, again, 8 minutes, second quarter, there, the Riders kind of stormed back, where they were able to take the lead to go in the half, 15-14. And then there was nobody that showed up in the second half at all. Riders didn't score any points.
Zero points in the second half. That blows my mind, Belton.
it blew yours. I'm sitting there waiting. And, you know, I think it was uncharacteristic of this team because, you know, the past few games, you know, there was been a lot of excitement, you know, the offense scoring, defense taking the ball away, getting sacks and everything. And in this game, you know, the Stamps, they were the one bringing it, right? They got 4 sacks against a solid offensive line for the Riders. And at the same time, the Rider D-line, they got 0 sacks in this game, man.
What is it, Belton, about Calgary's defense that seems to fool the Riders? What do you think?
I don't know. It just seemed like the Stamps got the Riders' numbers because the Stamps are 2-0. The Riders won't face the Stampeders unless perhaps in a playoff game now, right? So, and keep in mind, the Stamps, they are a good team. I think they were 3-0 against the Bombers, 2-0 against the Riders. They're the team in the West right now. And the Riders, they're hanging on. But you know what? Got a big pitchers coming down the road here against the Bombers.
Green Zone's Belton Johnson on the line with me this morning. You kind of just mentioned it, but who is the best team in the West, Belton? Is it the Riders or is it the Stampeders?
I'm going to have to say the Stampeders. You know, the Riders, they are a good team. Don't get me wrong. But the Stamps, when you talk about in the West, like I said, they've beaten the Bombers 3 times. They've beaten the Riders twice. You know, I just got to think there. I think they even beat BC here once. So that for me, the Stamps are the best in the West.
Trevor Harris took, as you mentioned, he sacked a number of times, took a couple pretty hefty hits. Do you feel like Harris is being truthful here? Do you feel like he is a little shaken up after that? Or is he going to come back this next game this weekend and rebound?
I'm thinking he'll come back this next game and rebound. But I will say, yeah, you know, watching that game on TV there, just the way he stumbled, it didn't look like somebody that would stumble with a leg cramp to me. But, you know, I got to take the man at his word here as well.
So, Blue Bombers, back-to-back games starting this weekend. We already know it's sold out. Labor Day Classic, we always get up for this game. The fans always turn up. Will the Riders turn up?
I think they have to after this one. And, you know, I know they got a couple injuries there. You know, the secondary is kind of shuffled around last second. You know, Marcus Sales was out the game versus the Stamps. So hopefully he'll be back here and everything. So, and they just got to pick themselves up by the bootstraps. They got a long week off here because that game isn't until Sunday, right? So, they got to regroup, and I do feel like it's a must-win game because, you know, I keep thinking about, you know, the seasons before. You know, if they lose a game like they lost against the Stamps, you know, then there was losses, string of losses after that. So, to me, this game is critical this week here.
Belton, always appreciate your time, my friend. Have a great week.
Hey, have a good one, Kevin.
Two. looking at Environment Canada's map. No weather warnings of any kind. No alerts of any kind in Saskatchewan. This has been a long time since we've had this, a blank slate, so to speak. And that includes up north, where they really seems like it's been several months of either air quality warnings or some sort of an advisory or special weather statement for air quality. But nothing right now. Of course, we know this summer's wildfires brought devastation to northern Saskatchewan. Roads closed. Yes, skies filled with smoke. And access to emergency care, even harder to reach than usual. But in the middle of the chaos, something extraordinary is taking flight. 980 CJME's Brittany Cafe is learning how one new plane is changing what's possible in the most remote corners of our province.
In northern Saskatchewan, the sky connects everything. Tiny clinics, fly-in communities, remote roads that vanish in snow or smoke. When someone needs emergency care, help often arrives from above.
We get a little bit of patient information, we talk with our pilots, we come up with a game plan, and then we take off.
That's Alex Bell. He's a primary care paramedic with LaRange EMS. When a medevac call comes in, he and his colleagues have about 30 minutes to get airborne. Until recently, many of those flights relied on an aging Twin Otter, a rugged, unpressurized aircraft that didn't make the trip easy.
I can speak from experience. A couple more critical cases where time is of the essence, so maybe being in the Twin Otter, being a little bit slower, it's a little bit more stressful of a situation.
But now a major upgrade has arrived. The Indigenous-owned aviation company Rise Air has brought in a $7 million Pilatus PC-12. Carla Wayman is the VP of Flight Operations, and she tells me this plane is faster than the Twin Otter, and it can land where other planes simply can't.
It can get in to smaller runways. For example, like when we went to Campbell Portage last week, it can get into South End. This aircraft can land pretty much on anything.
I was lucky enough to be one of the first passengers aboard this plane, and I can attest to the fact that it is fast. The trip from Saskatoon to LaRange was less than 50 minutes. That's a drive that usually takes 4 hours. Dr. Dan Irvine is the LaRange Emergency Department lead. He says this upgrade isn't just about time saved. It's also about who gets access.
The bigger door, the more capable lifts will make a big difference for the bariatric population as well. If you're in a fly-in only community and you don't fit, we don't have the aircraft to fit you in for a medical emergency, that does not look good for you.
The PC-12 changes that. It's the first medevac aircraft in Saskatchewan with this built-in bariatric system, a literal lifeline for some people. And this upgrade isn't going unnoticed.
I've been in northern Saskatchewan my whole life. We do get overlooked.
In a region where wildfires, closed highways, and long distances have always shaped life, the PC-12 isn't just a faster plane. It's a symbol that the North is worth investing in. And for patients in crisis, it could make all the difference. Above LaRange in Saskatchewan's newest medevac plane, I'm Brittany Cafe, 980 CJME.
Now, they were cleaning up Shake the Lake yesterday when we were walking around Wascana Lake by the Connexus Arts Center. The crowds, yeah, they turned out to see bands like Default, Finger Eleven, the Stampeders, Trooper, the Headstones. Joined now in studio by one half of Sherry and Woody on Jack 94.5. Sherry's with me. How was Shake the Lake? It was an all-Canadian show, right?
That's right. All-Canadian lineup for the first time ever, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, and so, of course, the weather was hit and miss on the weekend. We had some little raindrops. We had some wind. We had some cold temps. The hoodie that I'm wearing right now It's a Shake the Lake hoodie. Like, I bought it to keep warm.
Forest green. I like it.
Yeah. So all Canadian lineup, some interesting, you know, changes this year in terms of we've always had, you know, the classic rock bands. Yeah. But they made a couple of changes this year and had some 90s, 2000s vibes going. So on the Friday night, Finger 11 and Defaults were the last two bands.
Now, I know people that went to that show on the Friday, they were in their 30s. I know people in their 40s that went. I know people that went in their 60s that went to the Saturday show. And so it seemed like, based on that, it really did hit a number of generations this year.
Yeah, I thought it was cool how they did that. And then it was also cool to see, you know, on the first night when Finger 11 and Defaults did play, before them was Helix, classic, you know, Canadian rock. And so the younger generation was up there loving Helix too. So I love seeing that mix of rock fans, old and new, just kind of intermingling.
Now, when I go to a music festival, a concert, I always love people watching. Are you in the same boat?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's the best. And the thing I love about Shake the Lake compared to other music festivals that I go to, the vibe is so good. Like, everyone's in such a great mood. And I think it's just because it's a beautiful setting. You've got the lake right there. Kinexus Arts Center does a great job putting it on. There's lots of food and drinks and amenities and stuff. So it's just a really fun time. Everyone's happy at Shake the Lake.
Now, I'm putting you on the spot. Who is your favorite?
Surprise pick was actually Finger 11 on the first night. Yeah, you forget how many Finger 11 songs you know, how many hits they've had on the radio. So a lot of people were saying that they were pleasantly surprised. And then night two, I was also surprised about how many rabid fans the Stampeders have. You know, Sweet City Woman.
Yes.
Like, we're talking like rabid fans. And one really funny thing is Hugh Dillon, who's the lead singer from the Headstones, they were the closing act on night two. He's one of those fans. He was standing backstage videotaping the Stampeders performing before he went on later on.
So do you ever get to talk to any bands in great detail?
Yeah, you know what? Backstage, we do get to chill with them a little bit. I hung out. The Kings were really cool. The Kings were the first band on day two of Shake the Lake, and Switchin' to Glide, their big hit. And they hung out the whole night. They even said, "We love being the first band," because then they could have a beverage, walk around backstage. They were signing autographs out front. So it was cool to hang out with them all night for sure.
Sherry, thanks for this.
Thanks.
Sherry from Sherry and Woody on Jack 94.5 discussing Shake the Lake. Hey, 21, we are hearing the frustration from Rough Rider fans after that 32-15 loss to the Calgary Stampeders. Here's what callers of the Green Zone post-game show thought.
That was terrible. That score, it makes us look better than we played. You can't show up for one quarter and expect to win a football game.
Just a really depressing evening. Other than like 7 or 8 minutes of football in the second quarter, this was tough to watch.
Complete repeat of the last game we played them.
I mean, I think the Stamps proved they're the better football team.
Well, right now, the standings would say that Saskatchewan, at least for now, is a better football team at 8-2. Although, yes, a lot of fans don't believe that Saskatchewan's better than Calgary. Calgary's right behind them, 7-3. Winnipeg, too. Don't forget about them, 6-4. And I don't think a lot of us will be forgetting about them because they are here in town on Sunday, the Labor Day Classic. The 60th anniversary, by the way. And to mark that, later this morning, the Rider flag will be raised in front of City Hall. The mayor will be there, along with Rogers president, CEO Craig Reynolds. Gainer the Gophers is going to be there. Speaking of the Riders, hey, we learned a longtime scout in the CFL and a former director of player personnel for the Rough Riders just passed away. This would be Craig Smith, who's the Riders. He was with the team for 6 seasons, including a 2013 Grey Cup win at home. Overall, he spent 20 years working in the CFL along with the Riders. He also worked with the Bombers, the Lions, the Tiger Cats. Smith passed away yesterday at the age of 69 after a long health battle. Oh, we've been talking this morning about not just the game, but as you just heard too, Shake the Lake, lots going on from this past weekend. We just had I Love Regina Day on Saturday. And now we're learning the city and Regina Pats are teaming up for a night of community pride, is how they describe it. On Tuesday, November 4th, the city will be hosting the first ever I Love Regina Pats game when the Pats face off against the Calgary Hitmen, who are in town. You're encouraged to wear your I Love Regina gear, show your pride for our city while cheering on your hockey team. There will be discounted ticket prices as well. The game will also include I Love Regina merchandise, pregame party, and giveaways throughout the night. Again, the I Love Regina Pats game happens at the Brand Center November the 4th, coming up here in a couple months as it gets a little cooler out and we start to shift ever so slightly to hockey. We've been hearing in the news this morning with Andrew Shepherd this story, and you've been hearing about this. We've been telling you about this for the last number of weeks now. This Swift Current man was on a golf course in Texas, and he was bitten by that rattlesnake. Well, now we've just learned that he is back in Saskatchewan, and that's after the generosity of his American nursing staff. Daniel Fair's wife, Stephanie, says the ICU staff came up big, pitching in over one-third of the cost to help airlift her husband home. Daniel didn't have insurance, the family says. Stephanie says she'll never forget the staff's generosity.
Tensions were getting pretty high in Texas already. The kids were getting frustrated. They didn't want to be there anymore. They didn't want their dad there. We just wanted to all come home.
Now, Daniel does remain in a coma, but he did land safely in Regina this past Friday afternoon. Now, a GoFundMe page is set up to help pay for the family's medical costs. And I think we all know medical costs in the U.S. can be very, very pricey. We've heard a number of stories where people have either not had insurance or perhaps not covered enough insurance. And we're talking, like, in some cases, several $100,000 for a hospital stay. And I can imagine being in the States in an ICU. Yeah, that is not going to be cheap, that's for sure. CJME News Time is now 8:26.